morning. This is Gail Sylvia, host of SylviaGlobal.com. I'm so excited to be in New York today, meeting with an incredible woman on the heels of a tremendously successful conference in Los Angeles. Her name is Susan Taylor Banton. She is the executive director, the CEO of the Association of Black Foundation Executives. She has been in that position for 4 years, and the organization is 40 years young, with doing incredible work to promote the message and the presence of Black philanthropists. Susan, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gail. Thank you.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. I think there's some very valuable information that you can bring to our listeners around the world about the Association of Black Foundation Executives. So why don't we start by having you tell us about the organization and your mission?
Sure, sure. As you said, we were founded about 40 years ago, in 1971, actually. And the basis for the founding of the organization really was to address two issues. One was to really address the lack of diversity of people in mainstream foundations in this country. But the second was to really advocate for a more progressive form of philanthropy that we think will help not only Black communities but all communities. So our mission is to promote effective and responsive philanthropy in Black communities.
Talk to us about Black philanthropy and what that means to the Black community and the greater community at large.
Yeah, Black philanthropy is part of, as you say, philanthropy in this country. We are extremely philanthropic, and our history really goes back centuries. We are the most philanthropic people, one of the most philanthropic people. We have some of the highest levels of giving around the world, and we are, at our organization, we have primarily been working with African Americans that work in mainstream foundations, but we're reaching out to Black donors and Black philanthropists themselves, because we know that this is critical to seeing better outcomes for our community. So we have a strong history of giving. We have many institutions and organizations in the Black community that give. We know here in the U.S., more than half of all Black households give to some form of charity. So we are broadening our base to reach out to Black donors themselves to ensure that we can leverage those dollars with the dollars of mainstream foundations to see better outcomes for our people.
But for most people, Black, white, and others, the word philanthropy or philanthropist is not commonly associated with Black people. It conjures up images of the Carnegies, Rockefellers, perhaps Bill and Camille Cosby, perhaps an NBA athlete. So how is it substantiated that we are some of the most philanthropic people in the nation?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You're right. The word philanthropist actually doesn't necessarily resonate in our community, in our history. We call our giving many different things within the Black community. We call it tithing. You know, we call it harambees. We call it membership dues when you think about the major African American civic organizations that have been around since the 1800s and really are vehicles for donor giving to address issues in the Black community. So I think the notion of a philanthropist definitely conjures up a demographic that's different than ours. But again, this is the history and the culture of Black people, not only in the U.S., but across the diaspora.
Why is it important for mainstream or large, prominent white foundations to have Black executives involved with their giving?
You know, we think that our perspective is critical, that as foundations that may have originated from white wealth, most of the large foundations in this country have, as they do their well-intentioned work of supporting the most vulnerable communities in this country, we know that that often means vulnerability is disproportionately, you know, people of color. We think diversity of perspective and experience in the conversation about why Black communities are in the conditions that they're in, why Latino communities are in the conditions that they're in. We need diverse perspectives and voices in that conversation, so investment strategies, grants, and giving actually get at some of the root causes of issues affecting communities of color. So diversity matters in the discussion about why things look the way they do, and then also what we need to do about them.
How receptive are they to this diversity, and how is it generally reflected in foundations?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the data that we have access to, and the data is not that great. There are over 70,000 foundations in this country, Gail, and we have data on a very small number of them, probably a good 5,000 to 7,000. And the data that we do have suggests that African Americans make up about 3% of all foundation presidents, make up about 7% of all foundation trustees, and maybe about 16% of all foundation staff. So, and again, the data that we have is scant. So the percentages are probably much smaller than that if we had data on more foundations in the field. But we know that the leadership of foundations in this country just does not make – it doesn't represent the demographic of this country. When you think that, you know, Black people alone are about 15% of the total population, yet we're 3% of foundation CEOs. So we have a long way to go. We've made progress, but we have a long way to go. You know, the receptivity, I think that's a tough issue. I think it takes work, and that's what organizations like mine are trying to do. There are many other advocates and champions in the field that are pushing on the issue of diversity and inclusion in philanthropy. And we're finding that it takes work. I think there are more people willing to embrace diversity in the field of philanthropy than we think there are, but they have to be supported and accepting and embracing philanthropy, diversity in philanthropy.
What type of positions do most of your member executives have within the foundations?
Our membership, and we have about 300 members around the country, we are represented really on the upper echelon, if you will, of leadership. So most of our members are vice presidents, CEOs of foundations. We're starting to do major outreach to Black foundation trustees. So we've got some of the highest-ranking foundation executives in our membership base.
What type of influence are they able to actually exert in those positions?
You know, I think that we've seen, you know, even though, as I mentioned, we have a long way to go in terms of increasing diversity and the representation of Black people in leadership positions, we've seen more progress over the last several years, I think, in forms of philanthropy that we describe are responsive to Black community conditions. So, again, if we can get into those positions, and my organization is about supporting folks so they can stay in those positions, we find they can influence and exercise leadership. We need to go, though, which is one of the newer initiatives of our organization, straight to the top, and which is why we're now doing a major push to organize and network Black Foundation trustees, because that's really where the important conversations occur in foundations around giving.
What are some of the challenges of the Association of Black Foundation Executives?
Well, you know, one first and foremost is fundraising. We are a nonprofit, so you know we in fact are in the major sort of work of fundraising. We've got data again around giving in this country by major mainstream foundations. Less than 10% of giving goes to organizations that are focused on Black communities. So, you know, it's a tough game. So that's a major challenge of ours. It's just sustaining ourselves, and that is a challenge that many Black organizations face when you think about the giving patterns of mainstream foundations. I'll just say that is why we're doing more to reach out to Black philanthropy, Black donors themselves, because we think they will be more likely to support Black organizations. And so that's the newer work of our organization.
Go ahead.
No, I would say that is the main challenge. I think the other is, Gail, we're consistently, at the core of our work, really about changing the behaviors and ideas and perceptions of people in philanthropy who, as I mentioned, are majority white, changing perceptions about communities of color. That's really the core of the work of the Association of Black Foundation Executives, and we want to change people's mindsets so we can change giving patterns. That's the uphill battle that we face, and I would say in addition to just trying to sustain ourselves, the core work of changing mindsets around race, quite frankly, in this country, is the major challenge that we have in front of us.
So to change the giving patterns of the mainstream white foundations to direct more resources toward Black charities?
Black charities. Issues that we think will disproportionately improve outcomes for Black communities. So it's not just about charities for us. A lot of our work is focused on how does philanthropy move policy in this country to change conditions for Black communities. We actually think much of what is driving the disparities that Black communities face around education, health, justice, you name it, at the core of that are often policies in this country that disproportionately negatively impact Black communities. So a lot of what we advocate for is how do we get foundations to look at the role of policy in this country and to support policy advocacy and organizing so that we can get better policy agendas for our community.
Give the listeners an example, Susan, of a foundation's influence and their philanthropy over policies that have shaped the nation in some area?
Well, I guess I would point to perhaps one of the site visits that was part of the LA conference that we just had a couple of weeks ago was to the Los Angeles Black Workers Center, which is based in that city, that really is about, you know, how to get more jobs to the African-American community. And employment and, you know, being a huge issue for our community, we've got the highest unemployment rates in the country, is at the core of what the LA Black Workers Center is all about. The foundation that's really supporting this work is called the Open Society Foundation, based in New York. They also have headquarters in Baltimore. And they were able to support the LA Black Workers Center to really organize a core group of employees, Black employees in LA, that were trying to get into the construction industry and were able to really push for the change of policies around the construction trades in that area to lift up priorities around minority hiring and the like. And we're starting to see some real impact in terms of better access to construction jobs for Black employees in that area. It's a major transportation development project. So that's one. It's really how do we change policies either at the national level, the state level, because often that's where the rubber hits the road in terms of state-level policies around education, employment, and the like, but even at the regional level. And the LA Black Workers Center, with the support of the Open Society Foundation, is just one example.
When the Black community, you just made reference to the high unemployment within the Black community.
Uh-huh.
So how can we put high unemployment and associate that with the Black community, and on the other hand, associate the word philanthropy with the Black community? It's one of those image issues and lack of information that I think kind of impedes our ability to move forward in different arenas. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting because the data that we have access to around Black giving and Black philanthropy really does suggest that across all income levels, you know, Black people are philanthropic. So whether or not someone is struggling and because they are either unemployed or underemployed, which is another big issue for our community, many are still, quote-unquote, tithing, giving that 10% of whatever they have to church. So it is a struggle in terms of visualizing Blacks as givers and donors, but the data suggests, and the experiences of many of our families, is that we've always given. We've often given to the church. 60% of all Black giving actually goes to the church. That's where a lot of it is going. But that's coming from folks from across all income levels.
I know that for my grandmother, who was a domestic worker who had picked cotton in Arkansas before moving in the late 1930s to California, that there was an incredible amount of philanthropy associated with how she lived her life and the legacy that she left for our family and the community. And her giving was through the church.
Right.
Even as a low-wage earner, as a domestic worker and former sharecropper, you know, she was still committed to giving and
right.
may not have left any libraries named after her or had any streets named after her, but there was still a philanthropic legacy created. How do we move Black thought to higher, bolder commitments of giving beyond our traditional arenas of churches, historically Black colleges perhaps, and sororities and fraternities? How do we move to bigger, bolder giving in creating our philanthropic legacies?
Well, you know, I do think that has to do, one way to do that is to really facilitate more conversations amongst Black donors themselves, again, regardless of what they give, about really what drives change in this country for Black people. You know, all giving is good. Philanthropy in and of itself, the term means love of mankind. And, you know, anyone can be that, a philanthropist, if it's about loving mankind. All giving is good. But what we actually are trying to do, Gail, is talk to folks about what are the large drivers that really are behind some of the major disparities that Black communities face. What's really blocking opportunity for our communities? And then what does that mean for your giving? So I think that, you know, more strategic advice and guidance, more discussions with Black donors about what's driving the conditions of Black communities may facilitate change in behavior. But until we do more of that, I think giving patterns will stay the same. I think, again, all giving is good, but it's about education, and it's about consistent conversation about what's driving the conditions of our community and then how do we change that.
Is a part of our community, and, you know, we're just having a conversation here, it's all unscripted. So as I'm listening to you and some of the thoughts that are crossing my mind and some of the internal sensations that are kind of causing triggers within me that have happened before are prompting me to ask you some of the questions that I'm asking now. But isn't the word opportunities that the Black community is seeking or needing kind of equivalent with looking at a situation only from the perspective of what we lack, you know, what's missing, what we don't have that others may have, where if we flip that coin, what do we have? You know, what are the conversational pieces that identify what we already have in place as our strength that make us donors that we just need to elevate to a new level ourselves, you know, and raising our own consciousness and awareness through these conversations and education that can build on what we do have versus what we are missing.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate the flip, if you will, around more strength-based and asset-based discussion. You know, it's very interesting. We had William Robinson, I think I'm getting his name right, who authored a book last year called The Disintegration of Black America that talked about the fact that there are five different black communities in this country today. So when we say what we have as a black community, we actually can come up with some common issues around, as you say, a history of philanthropy. We are givers, and so that's what we have in common. But the way in which we're stratified as a community now, he talks about four or five groups, one being the transcendent folks that are doing really, really well. He talks about the middle class, the group that we know is just being chipped away at through the economic recession. And then he talks about the forgotten, that are those that have been living in poverty and generational poverty for years. And then he talks about a fourth group that is both of mixed race and immigrant status. And so what he really pushes is, you know, how do we have conversations about, quote unquote, the black community when we are in very different spaces and places and experiences. So on the one hand, I agree with you. I think that there are some commonalities. And what we do know is that we are givers, we are donors, we are philanthropists. And folks, regardless of where they fall on that spectrum, are giving and doing good. And we have examples, again, of folks that are really struggling, doing well, folks that are what he calls in the transcendent class doing well. But then we really have to acknowledge that we're in different spaces and places. And the class divisions within the black community really need to push us to talk about where is there opportunity for some and not for others. So,
where does the conversation around philanthropy, in your opinion, take place in these, you know, within these groups, these five different categories you just referenced?
Well, you know, it's interesting. If one thinks about philanthropy as, again, the love of mankind, and some folks describe philanthropy, as you know, Gail, of the giving of time, talent, and treasure.
Right.
So it's not just about money, but it's about the skills or competencies, but also about your time. Then we can point to communities around this country. You know, I live in the D.C. area, and we could point to community groups in Southeast Washington, D.C. that are organizing and providing leadership in their community to keep the streets safe, you know, and that's happening across many of the vulnerable black communities around this country. You know, in other areas or for other population groups, when we think about the leadership of our civic organizations like the fraternities and sororities and the Masons and the Lynx, there's major giving there, and there are conversations about philanthropy there. It's happening across the spectrum for us, Gail. The issue is that I think it's not organized and it's not coordinated, and that's actually what we were trying to do in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago, is that, you know, we thought, let's reach out beyond our mainstream membership, which are African Americans that work in foundations, to black donors themselves, to black civic organizations. So we had representation from some of the fraternities and sororities there. We reached out to philanthropic athletes and musicians and celebrities. And it was for the first time that we were aware of at the Association of Black Foundation Executives where we had that kind of group organized. And so, again, it's happening across the board, but we're not organized in a way that actually builds more philanthropic power. for our community.
But what you did a couple of weeks ago, and I had the honor of being invited to one of the sessions there, which I appreciated so much, Susan, what you did do was start that organizing effort. And
right.
by just extending the invitation and expand for your board and you under your leadership to expand the vision of who should be in these conversations and how to get to them and then to actually reach out and receive them. It was very impressive. I shared with the group on the night I was there that I knew you existed. I just didn't know where to find you. You know, I know we're out there. You know, I just didn't know where to find you. And it's taken seriously a lifetime to be in the presence of just that small percentage of what reflects a much larger group of Black philanthropists and Black executives who are in the field of philanthropy and addressing it, you know, to see what you accomplished and did. It was a major inspiration with major impact. So can you talk some more about, you know, how that conference and mobilizing our resources for impact accomplished the mission that you and your board set out?
Yeah, no, and thank you for that. And once again, Gail, thank you for being a part of the donor salon that we had, because that was new for us. But as you mentioned, the theme of the conference was mobilizing our resources for community impact. And you know, again, the notion was that we are a philanthropic people. When we think about African Americans, Black folks, and we were primarily focused on the U.S. at that point, we are a philanthropic people. But the challenge is that we're not connected, and so that really was the interest and the focus of organizing the conference. And it really is coming from, I was sharing with you earlier, a new vision that the board passed late last year. And it's the hope is that we say by 2015, ABSI will be central to a movement of grant-making entities, donors, and civic organizations to improve outcomes for Black America and the country as a whole. So this was our first attempt to, again, invite individual Black donors, invite representatives of celebrity and athletic foundations, and to invite the leadership of some civic organizations that are all grant makers, that are all donors. And we were really pleased with the turnout. We had about 170 people there. So as you say, we've got, while we were pleased, there's so much more we can do. But of that audience, about half of the folks there were there for the first time. And we really tried to use our time there to listen to donors, to celebrity and athletic foundation representatives, to some of the civic organization leaders, as to how this organization that's been around for 40 years, with our membership base that has a lot of experience in grant making and grant making to and for Black communities, how we can support the larger sort of giving of Blacks in philanthropy. So our work moving forward really will be to do more of that. We're actually, you know, we'll continue this theme with our annual conferences over the next several years and inviting colleagues from those different groups. But we're also going to do some regional convenings because I think we're going to get a better turnout and actually can make more sort of relationships with some regional convenings over the next year or two. So.
We're having to wrap up sooner than I'd like, but I would really appreciate if you could give our listeners some of the information about ABSI and its founder and why it was founded.
Yeah. We, the Council of Foundations is the big sort of membership organization for foundations in the United States. And Ambassador James Joseph, who was a former ambassador to South Africa, participated in the Council of Foundations business meeting in 1971. This goes back to the founding of the organization. He and seven other Black foundation executives created a little bit of a protest at the annual meeting of the Council of Foundations back in 71, really, again, to protest the lack of diversity of leadership, not only within the council in terms of the staff and the board, but again, for foundations in the field. And that was the beginning of the organization. Ambassador Joseph became the founding board chair of the Association of Black Foundation Executives, and ultimately was put on the board of the Council of Foundations, and then became the first black board chair of the council. So he was there from the beginning in terms of really diversifying the Council of Foundations, and became the first black board chair of the council. And he and several other of the founders of our organization went on to start the National Black United Fund several years later. They always knew that it wasn't just about, again, organizing mainstream foundations to improve outcomes for black communities, but it was also organizing our own wealth and our own resources for our own communities. So he's gone on to do some amazing work, not only in this country, but others as well. He's an amazing gentleman.
How can Sylvia Global support your efforts?
Well, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to help spread our message, Sylvia. So just the opportunity to tell folks about the work that we're doing, because we're reaching out to people that are outside of our membership, our traditional membership base, we need a way of communicating to black donors, to black grant makers, that we are a resource for them. So we really appreciate Sylvia Global helping us to spread that message. And I would also say it'd be great to use your network to really encourage folks to join the Association of Black Foundation Executives. Because of the new work that we're doing, you don't have to be in a foundation to be a member of our organization. You just have to care about black communities and be intentional and serious about giving and being a donor and as it relates to the work of the organization.
And the listener can learn more about the Association of Black Foundation Executives at www.abfe.org. Again, they can also find this on sylviaglobal.com, where you'll be able to read the bio of Susan Taylor Batten, the CEO of the Association of Black Foundation Executives. And this broadcast is also available on iTunes as a podcast. Susan, one last question, and we'll close from there. In 40 years, when history has recorded your vision and the work that you're doing at AFI, what would you like in your wildest dreams for that history to reveal?
That we are organized, that we're networked. That's ultimately my vision. We have what it takes. We have what it takes to change conditions for this country. I won't even say for black people, for this country. And my vision is that we are working well together, we're leveraging our strengths and our own assets, and we're influencing the behaviors of others. That's what I'd love to see.
Susan Taylor Batten, thank you so much for being here with us today from Washington, D.C., and introducing the audience around the world to the work of responsive philanthropy in the black communities and the work that you're doing there at the Association of Black Foundation, the Association of Black Foundation Executives, AFI. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and we'll look forward to having you come back.
Oh, thank you, Gail. Thank you.